I was told throw up in order to go up. So I became bulimic in order to stay skinny for my cheerleading team. I was obsessed with the results, but there was a dark reality that came with it.
Real life starts now.
This is Real Life Radio Show with On Lay.
I felt alone. I felt lost. I felt scared.
Real stories.
I was so desperate in living such a dark and callous life.
Real people.
I was thinking there was no purpose for my life. There's no reason for me to be here.
Real problems.
I told my dad, if you try to take these drugs, I'm going to kill you.
One solution. God.
Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus.
And now your host, On Lay.
Hi, this is Evangelist On Lay, host of the Real Life Radio Show, where we're going to talk to real people who had real problems but found answers and a real God. Today, we're going to talk about bulimia nervosa, a condition which mostly affects 1.3% of females and 0.5% of males. But it is a condition when someone binge eats and then purges or vomits all of their food so not to gain weight. The causes of bulimia are unknown to scientists, but they know that it can run in families. Why would someone torture themselves by being so obsessed with weight gain enough to go through extremes of making themselves throw up all their food? Well, are there severe consequences to this behavior? Yes, there are. And today, we will have Marcella Eslau, who developed bulimia nervosa as a teenager and struggled with bulimia throughout much of her adult life. She's going to reveal some of the dark realities associated with bulimia and explain to us why she almost became addicted to the lifestyle. Marcella, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be with you guys today.
Marcella, it's so good to have you here. And I'm particularly interested in what you have to share about this because bulimia is often a perplexing condition that I think people don't really understand, nor do they easily see it. But there are women doing this. What was bulimia for you when you were younger?
Bulimia for me was a way to stay thin without having to continuously starve myself.
Wow. So you probably started starving yourself at first, is that right?
Yeah, it actually started out as, clinically they call it anorexia nervosa, but just withholding food, and it eventually developed into bulimia.
Wow. When did this eating disorder first start with the anorexia?
Yeah, the anorexia started around middle school.
Eesh.
I think most young girls kind of start noticing their bodies at that age. Your body's changing. But I was in a sport that kind of required me to notice my body a little bit more, maybe, than an average young girl. And so it started there.
Now, in middle school, though, when you're going through that, was it just to stay skinny? Like, just that simple? Because, I mean, a lot of people want to stay skinny, but not everyone is doing anorexia and all that stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think was kind of the key trigger point for you for starting to live like an anorexic young girl?
You know, if I could be honest, I just think it was me wanting to be good at something. I think that it was me wanting to feel like I was succeeding at something, even if now knowing later on that that thing would have nearly almost killed me.
Wow.
But I was just desperate. I was desperate to be good at what I was doing, to look the best that I possibly could.
Yeah.
And I craved that approval and that I found I could do. I could get people's approval. I could get compliments. I could feel good about myself if I could manipulate the way I looked by the way I ate.
Wow. And people were paying attention. People were complimenting you. Like, what were their compliments?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you're in a sport and you look athletic and you're doing great in your sport, you're getting compliments on that regard, not on, wow, you're losing so much weight and you're hurting yourself. No one knows what you're doing. But as a society, we might say, wow, you look like, you know, you've lost weight. Awesome. How'd you do it? Not even for 1 second thinking, is this a good thing that I should be complimenting someone on in that sense?
Yeah. And you didn't tell people. You were just kind of quiet about it.
I didn't. No, it started out really secretive at first.
Okay. Now, I understand because, you know, the sport you got into was cheerleading, right?
Right.
And so I understand that there was a coach that contributed to your need for this eating disorder. Tell us about that.
Well, as I got older in the sport, you know, I started to notice a little bit more openness about people not eating or not eating a lot or withholding food. It was normal culture, if you will, to try to stay thin in the sport. But maybe it was my type A personality or my, I wanted so badly to be good at this, to be the best at this, that I took it to the extreme. And so I held on to these little sayings that people would say. And one of them from one of my male coaches was throw up to go up.
Wow.
And it could have been a joke. It could have been crude humor. But to someone who this sport means everything, it's where I'm getting my validation. It's where I'm getting my confidence. That was more of a statement to me of this is something I have to do to be able to continue doing what I want to do.
Oh my gosh. So in a sense, people are talking about it. It's becoming kind of culturally accepted in the cheerleading groups. I understand you got into very competitive cheerleading groups as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, competitive as in, you know, people want to be happy for you that you got a position, but then they're fighting you to get that position too.
Yeah.
So it's a really dog-eat-dog mentality, and it can be fun, it can be good, but maybe just in my experience and the way that I perceive things, maybe I just took things way too literally, throw up to go up. And I was like, okay, well then, if that's what I have to do, then that's what I'm going to do.
Now, Marcella, I understand that there's something really bad that happened to you when you were way, way young, and it really helped to shape this whole anorexia bulimia thing in your life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I actually ended up making that connection later on in life, kind of just where all this need for control came from. Like, why did I take all of those comments so seriously? And why did I strive so much to be perfect or try to control the way that I looked or food? So yeah, when I was younger, I was taken care of by a family friend, and unbeknownst to my family, that family friend was sexually assaulting me.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't tell anyone when I was younger. I didn't have the words for that. What would you even say at that age? I had to be about like 5 or 6. And I just remember after that day, like having this hatred on the inside of me and not knowing where to put it. And to be honest with you, when I was going through the disorder, when I was going through the extreme severe acts of anorexia and bulimia, that same feeling of perpetuated hate, I would feel that on the inside of me.
Wow. But was it hate directed at yourself, it seems like?
I mean, that's where I put it. But I think as a young kid, where do you put it, right? And so I didn't know how to kick back against that person. It was a family friend. And I just, it tormented me, I think, as a child. And as I got older in this behavior, I was able to kind of act out and control something in my life.
Yeah.
And really, it was probably just crying out for help and crying out for like healing. But instead, it turned into this perpetuated self-control. How can I control my life? How can I control my emotions?
Wow.
How can I control what happens to me?
You know, that makes sense, because when tragic things happen to people, they really are looking for something to control because they don't want something to happen again.
Right.
You know, and that's the illusion. But with bulimia, you know, fast forwarding here, most people hate it when they need to throw up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe that was you too. But what was it that motivated you to not only get past this, but you actually liked doing it?
Yeah. You know, it's a really sick and twisted demonic like addiction.
Yeah.
Because you propel yourself to do something that's actually against like, right? Who would want to do that in your mind? But when you're feeling this desperation to be accepted, to feel good, it's just twisted the way that you'll go about and do it.
Yeah.
And you do it for the first time and you realize, oh, I was successful.
So somehow you got over the hate, the uncomfortableness of it. It didn't matter anymore.
It didn't matter. I think that when you're desperate and you're searching for something like I was, to be accepted, to feel good enough and all of that, it doesn't matter what it takes to get there. You kind of just numb yourself off from what you're doing and you do it.
Marcella, real quick, what was your typical schedule of bulimia? Like, could anyone on the outside tell you were doing this, you think?
You know, when it got to its worst, because it went on for 15 years.
Oh my gosh.
But when it was at its worst, I was competing on 2 cheerleading teams at the time. One was for college, one was for competitive cheer.
Mm.
And I was also in school. So I would, you know, wake up, have like a protein shake. There were like these safe foods that I would have. And then I would go to school. I wouldn't eat anything at all.
Oh.
And then I'd have like a handful of almonds and an apple. And then I would go to a cheer practice, an athletic practice for about 4 hours, sometimes more than that. Then I would go home and I would binge eat after that. And then I would throw up.
Oh.
And next day, same thing. And it would be a different team. So I'd wake up, starve all day, go to the practice, go home, and then binge all night. And it didn't matter like what was happening. It was either I was not eating at all, never eating in front of someone, or I was binging and eating until I felt literally sick, like veins popping out of my throat. I mean, you're just feeling literally sick and then just purging it all out. And it was a life of secrecy. And that's why I think a lot of people don't know that people are doing this, because you just master living a secret life.
Wow.
It's literally the same thing on as having an addiction.
Marcella, let's stop here. I want to have you on our next show to talk more about how things got worse before they got better. Thanks so much for helping us to understand the conditions that led you to bulimia. I mean, thanks so much again, Marcella.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Hey, let's dive deeper into what you just heard right after the short break.
If you have a testimony you would like to share, you can audition to be on our show. Just go to www.therealliferadioshow.com. Click on Tell Us Your Story and follow the directions. You can fill out the guest release form and we will get back with you as soon as possible. If you need prayer or someone to talk to, you can always text us at 877-325-8030. Again, that's 877-325-8030. We look forward to seeing your text.
Real Life Radio is a ministry of Awakening the Nations, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that depends on your donations. If you would like to find out more about us or to make a tax-deductible donation, please visit our website at www.therealliferadioshow.com. That's www.therealliferadioshow.com. Please help us to expand the reach of these shows. We couldn't do it without you. More Real Life starts now.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to go deeper into what you just heard. So what do you think about this? I think we're all learning about this condition. You know, and though it's not a majority of the population, we can learn a lot from Marcella's testimony. You see, she isn't just a number or a statistic. She's a human being that was influenced by those around her to live and do these things in order to achieve success. Society and even those around her taught her that she needed to be skinny. She needed to be small. She needed to focus on keeping her weight down. And then she would be accepted. Then she would be praised. And I'm sure her fragility as a person was shattered when her coach pinched her side and said, "You need to lose this." How careless of her coach to do that, which in his mind, I'm sure he thought it was harmless. Maybe he never thought about it again. But this is one of the shaping, defining moments for Marcella, where she felt rejection, she felt not good enough, therefore she put herself through great trials of this very unhealthy lifestyle. Let's be clear, bulimia, anorexia, these are not the ways of life. They're eating disorders, and they have a dark, demonic side to them. But those stuck in its traps are not to be condemned, but rather to be understood that they're victims to a world that is trying to shape them that way. You know, this world doesn't accept the inside, but rather looks and approves of the outside for jobs, roles, and popularity. But is this the meaning of life? Is this the true way to happiness? It doesn't sound like it. It's written that God views this entirely different. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Beloved, where are you at with this? Do you rely on your physical appearance to get places, to do things? Lord Jesus, help us to understand that it's not about how we look on the outside, but it's how we look on the inside. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We ask for new hearts, right hearts, good hearts with you. We ask for this in Jesus' mighty name. I hope you're blessed with this testimony, and I know that your life was touched.
You can search us on social media by typing The Real Life Radio Show and follow us for more updates and content on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. See you next time.